For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa love and welcome to Nijin Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island koi, Tinidar Arona, and this is the home for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. And we have a massive show planned, T, but I want to kick things off. The Quarter Arms, the Cook Island Rugby League team, has put the call out on social media.
That's
they
correct.
They need players.
Mate, we just
for World
we
Cup.
We are setting ourselves up for a successful World Cup this year in rugby league.
It's a Hollywood script for you. Are you coming back?
Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
But we are, you know, getting out there and recruiting and trying to bring in the lads to represent the great Cook Islands this Rugby League World
Give me
Cup.
Someone on the wish list.
Mate, you already
want.
Know I've been trying to recruit here on Nijin Footy the last few years.
He's got just as much chance as you playing.
Who?
Isaiah Katoa.
Isaiah Katoa?
For the Cook Islands.
Now, I've been trying to recruit Josh Papali'i,
okay.
Valentine Holmes, all while we've been talking now. If we see these boys represent the green and gold this year, not the Australia team, the Cook Island team, it's because it all started here on Nijin Footy. But
get the checkbook out, son. They'll come for that.
Yeah.
No, it's for the love. It's for the jersey.
Another huge show planned here on Nijin Footy Fridays. We will be covering last night's game. Did you watch the Sammy Broncos versus Eels?
I got home from training and I thought it was the Broncos of old when they were up by a certain amount of points.
They looked sharp.
And then obviously they got run down by the Eels, but I'm sure you're going to unpack the reasons why they couldn't get the job done in Brisbane.
And also to cover rugby league, we do have Salatonga Tuki who will be joining us very shortly. And then, have you heard from Nems lately?
I've sent the WhatsApp message out to him. There's a scene, but no reply. But I'm sure Big Nems will be here.
Big Namani
Kudandrani. Hopefully.
I know that they have their game. The Fijian Drua are playing in Bar.
Yes, they are playing in Bar against the Brumbies.
Maybe the satellite's just not working over there.
Hopefully we get him on, but we'll let everyone know anyway.
And then we'll wrap up our show with our tipping competition.
100% last week,
we
my
are
friend.
two from last week. Let's keep the trend going. So let's rip right into Nijin Footy Fridays.
Hi, I'm Robert Derby from North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Yes, you are listening to Nijin Footy. This is the best place for Pacifica footy news, isn't it, T?
Yes, it is.
And let's kick things off with the game from last night. The Parramatta Eels, 40 points to the Broncos, 32. This is...
Did you see this one coming?
I'm thinking, I'm still trying to play on that narrative. It's still only round one. It's still only round two. It's still only round three. But I don't know how long I could keep using that for the Broncos. But it's not the start they would have wanted so far.
I don't think many people saw this one coming, though. The Eels beating the Broncos, 40-32. This game was in Brisbane as well, at Suncorp Stadium. Look, both of them coming off losses in round one. To start the show, though, Reece Walsh, he was electric. You know, scored a nice try there. At one point, the Broncos were up 20-6. They had the Eels on the ropes, and it was almost looked like a replay of the Eels playing Melbourne Storm. They were just going to open the floodgates and then run riot. But Samoan back rower, Kelma Tuilangi, he hit this beautiful hole, runs through the Broncos' defense, steps Reece Walsh, scores a try, and just changes that whole momentum of that Eels pack. We did see a quick response from Payne Haas, but I think Kelma starting that comeback, that's where it all began.
Hey, the art of running a good line and going through, like there's a lot of nerves when you run those lines because sometimes you can have a look. Man, I don't know if I'll hit that line hard because I might get whacked here, but yeah, do you hit a line like that? Like, what's the most important aspect for you to get through that line?
Do you know what? Thinking back on my junior footy, a great back rower that ran great lines. His name was Daniel Panizzi. And this was when I was
he should have played more in NRL games.
When I was a Penrith Panther Junior, he was a very close friend of mine, and he made his debut for the Panthers. But I remember him saying that he got a tip from, might have been Frank Pritchard, and he said, when you run your line, that down line, that hard down line, face your bum to the sideline. He goes, that way it'll straight, it'll angle, you're changing direction and going against the grain, against the defensive grain when you start your line. So don't know whether that's true or not, but that's just something that stuck with me.
And I used to pull the handbrake up when I went to the line.
No, I'm a different kind of back rider. Just give me the ball early and I'll do the rest. But yeah, that line running is crucial because what it does, it makes the halfback accountable, and he has to get his body in front of you. Now, because it was Ezra Mamet at this time, missed that tackle, Kelmer goes through. Now, that had a big effect on the rest of the game because every time Kelmer hit that line, Ezra Mamet had to get in front, which means the center has to come in, the wing has to come in, and it tightens up the whole defensive line to create space out the back. So Kelmer getting that off to a good start. The Eels, after Painhouse's try, he goes in untouched. Painhouse goes in untouched, and he scores a try. The Eels go 3 tries in 5 minutes before halftime. Another one to Kelma Toilangi.
16 metres out in centre park for the Eels. 7.5 to the break, 20 points to 12 to Brisbane. Walker to the right for Pezzett. He puts Toilangi through, and Toilangi scores his second try.
But then Isaiah Iongi out the back, he was the best on ground for the Parramatta Eels. Scores a try before halftime. Opens the second half with another try. He was just everywhere. Before, the Tongan centre for the Broncos, Katoni Stads, he scores his second try. And then Jonah Pezzett, the Eels halfback, directs the Eels to a victory, scoring 2 tries in the to seal the game for the Eels. So I thought 3 points that come out of this game. Eels, I thought they found that weak spot. You know, the defensive line on the Broncos, that left side, due to Kelmer's strong line, they found that that weakness. Iongi was on fire. He had 174 metres for 16 carries. And I thought the combination between both halves, Mitchell Moses and Jonah Pezzett, with their back rowers, Kitioni Kautonga and Kelmer Toilangi, I thought that combination, those halves with their back rowers, changed the game for the Eels.
When you think about probably where the Parramatta Eels need to go next, obviously they've got to go now back-to-back. Like, do they have that maturity there to be able to now understand how they need to play to win games? Or is this just purely coming off the back of that 50-point hiding and they're still playing on emotion that, like, playing not to be embarrassed? Or do they actually understand how they want to play, and this could kickstart their season?
Well, listening to their coach, Jason Rolls, post-game, all he expected from the Eels last night against the Broncos was just the effort. He wanted to see an effort, 80-minute effort, and keep them. It kept them in the fight. And then their skills obviously got them the win at the end. But to stay in that fight, he did say there was a lot to work on still. Each individual has improvements in their game, but you still can't concede 32 points. Like, we haven't even got to the Broncos conceding 40
yet. Exactly,
But you can't concede 32 points and still expect to win a game. So I thought that they, they put themselves in a good position to win this game, but still need a lot of work to do if they want to be pushing for top 4, top 8 spots in this competition. Now onto the Broncos. They concede 40 points to the Eels. Now remember, these guys are the 2025 Premiership winners. And they lost round 1 to Panthers, didn't score a point, conceded, was it 28 points? They also lost the World Club Challenge. What are your thoughts on the Broncos? And after winning, is it a bit of a, Premiership hangover?
Hangover from it? Yeah, well, it's a tough one. They've obviously got quality players to be able to turn things around pretty quick when they need to. It's on a whole, though, from a defensive point of view. I'm hearing a lot of commentary that these new rules are playing a part in the blowout scores or high scoring games. Like the over the 9 games that have already been played, I think there's been an average of 50 points in each game, combined total of points scored. So that's obviously higher than previous years. But yeah, for the Bronx, there's too much star power. There's too many players that have been there and done it before for them to have a losing season.
Yeah,
I just think it probably is a bit of a hangover, a later start. All of those guys played a lot of footy last year. I just, even though you can have your 6 weeks, 7 weeks off, I think it's okay to have a slow start. I've seen it in Union with the Crusaders plenty of times where they've lost the first two, three games and they've come home. So I just think for the Broncos, I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt of having a slow start. Even if they lose the first five, I think the Roosters that year that you said where you lost the first one, the 2012 one?
2013, yeah.
Like they said they were 5 from 10 in those in the opening 10 rounds. So I'm not riding the Broncos off yet. That's my summation on that.
Well, they didn't even have a great start last year in 2025.
Yeah, very true.
And then they got on to a great one, run in the back end and found some form. They looked like the fitter team at the back end of the year. So, you know, whether everyone just has this high expectation on the Broncos because they were last year's winners, played good footy, they've got star power in Tyrese Walsh, Payne Haas. I mean, you look at last year, slow starters, end up playing some good footy. So don't...
It's not where you start, it's where you end up.
Don't count them out just yet.
Yeah, I agree.
It's still very early days.
Okay, so we'll move on from that game now, T, to some of the upcoming games. Which other games throughout this round two, you know, have you got your eye on?
Look, there are a few great games to look forward to. I think one that's kicking off very shortly, the New Zealand Warriors taking on the Canberra Raiders in Auckland.
Smokey, the Warriors? Smokey this
You reckon?
No, I'm joking.
No chance. I reckon they're the new...
Yeah, the real deal.
They're the new top four favourites.
Okay, round
after
one.
After last week's win against the Sydney Roosters. But that one's kicking off very shortly. I think that's going to be a very exciting game to watch. The matchups that I'm looking forward to in this one, the Kiwi front rowers, James Fisher-Harris and Joseph Taupine, both going head-to-head in this match. And then also the back rowers in Cook Island, Chance, Nickel Klogstad and KO Weeks, the fullback for the Raiders. So expect to see exciting footy. I think there's going to be a lot of speed, there will be some great tries scored. Hopefully I want to see some better defensive scorelines compared to last night.
Yeah.
And well, I don't want these 70-point games. Yes, they are exciting to watch, but defense,
man.
Defense is, when you appreciate the art of defense, you understand why teams like Panthers, those best defensive teams end up winning the competitions.
You feed off that energy because it's an attitude thing. It's an intent thing. And so when you know that someone's just rocked someone or like, you know, that they can't get through our brick wall, like you just grow in confidence and you're like, yeah, it's a physical battle on that one, yeah.
A few other games, Roosters versus Bunnies just kicking off after the Warriors-Raiders game. We have the Roosters versus Bunnies. I think that one's always an exciting game to watch because of the rivalry. But Alex Johnston, the opportunity to break the NRL all-time try-scoring record. He has to score two. I don't think the Roosters are going to let him score it, break that record.
See Trent Robinson's comments?
What'd he say?
He just said, they were like, oh, mate, about him stopping Johnston scoring. He goes, mate, our objective is no one scores on that edge.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who it is. So,
and they will try and put two, three players on Alex and let Latrell go. Nah, jokes. But that's going to be an exciting one. Panthers versus Sharks off the back of two huge wins for each of them. I think that's going to be a big game. But you won't expect this one as one of my games to look out for.
I think I know which one you're going for.
The last Sunday game?
Is it the Tigers game?
Nah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the Tigers.
The Tigers game's a good one.
I've been watching Benji Marshall's clips on socials, how he's been bringing his leadership group in. He's spraying them, a couple of swear words in there, but he seems to be putting the blowtorch on the Tigers. So that's the game I'm looking
forward to. Tigers versus Cowboys. Saturday afternoon. Who are you looking out for?
I'm going to go Hemasi Makasini. I wanted to show that form that he had in the trial form. Those Jonah Lomu-like moments. I'd love to see that.
Myron's Jerome Luai. Playing at six, bit of freedom, takes away that responsibility of controlling the team, and he just plays up footy.
That's going to be a big game, that one. But sorry, what was that game that you were?
Dolphins versus Titans. Last game on a Sunday. They both come off losses, so you know they want to get on the board with a win. But the matchups, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, the fullback for Dolphins versus Keanu Kinney at the Titans fullback. And then you've got the forward pack for both teams, Tom Gilbert and Tom Flegler, up against Tino Fa'asuamaliawi and Moiaki Fotuweka. That's a huge
couple
matchup.
Of big men going at each other there. Ken, who's the smoky in that one? The Titans, obviously.
Pretty close games, yeah.
Yeah, we'll discuss that when we get our lock and smoke.
When you look at like the Panthers, Sharks, it's very show. Very tight. Roosters, Bunnies, very tight. Warriors, Raiders, tight. So it's going to be a tricky one to try and find the smoky this year. I might have to switch over to
Super
Rugby, yeah.
More uneven in that competition, is it? But awesome work, T.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia, and we will talk more rugby league very shortly with Sala Tongatuki.
Hi, I'm Palau Fanga, and you are listening to Nijan Footy.
Rugby Union, Sammy, what do we got for us? Oh, what are we? What do you got for us?
What are we, man? You're the part of the we now. The key is in the we.
In the we.
Who did that again? What's his name?
Kidwell.
David Kidwell.
The key is in the we. And then I think they lost.
They lost. That's all good, eh? But let's get over to Rugby Union. Big weekend, Super Rugby Pacific. It is back.
Round five, eh?
Yeah, round 5, it's man. It's gone fast. It goes really
How
fast.
How many rounds? You said 16? Like 12?
16 rounds.
So almost finished.
Yeah, it's almost finished. That's why I think it's going to be hard for, we're digressing a little bit, for Zach Lomax, because he's going to, so the the Force have the Hurricanes this week. They've got the bye next week, and then they play against the Chiefs the week after.
So he comes in at round 7, almost if he does play.
Halfway through the comp.
Well, he's got 2 weeks to
I think
prep.
He's going to play, bro. Word on the street, he's going to play. He's
round
gonna come
7
off the bench,
and he'll play
the wing.
7 games, and or no. 9 games.
Yeah, so it's going to be a tough baptism of fire for him, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes anyway.
Come on now, don't underestimate those leaguies, especially one like Zach Lomax.
The Union is a different game. It's not about the ability. It's about actually understanding your role, your responsibilities, run, pass, or kick.
No, if they put him in the right position, just get in the ball in space.
Yeah, but like, hang on a tick. No. Because he could have space running out of his end, but that's not the right play, because if he doesn't have the good groundwork to get that ball back in placement, or he takes the wrong risk when you should kick, he's going to turn that ball over no matter if he makes a line break.
Here's my argument. When was the last time the Wallabies were pretty strong in World Rugby Union?
Oh, man, World Rugby Union. I'd go mid-2000s.
And who were the outside backs then?
Yeah, but that's...
Wendell Saylor, Laurie Tekeri, Matt Rogers, all leagueies.
Matt Rogers lost us the World Cup.
He was in the World Cup.
Because he didn't place the ball back. He was held and tried to get up and run.
And we're going to see the same thing next World Cup. All leagueies back line
Wallabies.
It will
be, bro. It will be. But anyway, let's get to Super Rugby round 5. Big Nems, I believe we've got him. He'll be telling us all things Fiji and Drua for their big clash against the Brumbies in Bar for the very first time. So we should be getting some good information from him. But we've got the Sunday game. They say this is the big brother versus the little brother game, with Minor Pacifica taking on the Auckland Blues at Eden Park. And when I think about this matchup, I'm really liking the look of Minor Pacifica with William Harvili back at fullback. Patrick Pellegrini back at, he's starting at 10, and Lalo Milo starting at 12. So I think there's going to be a lot more organisation in attack from Minor Pacifica, because of the fact that, one, there's cohesion there with those three players, and now there's genuine organisation around their holistic way and where they want to play. So like that run, pass, or kick option. But honestly, the biggest one for Moana, I think it's what we spoke about before, T, with rugby league, it's defence. Like, you can't be giving away nearly 42 points every single game this year on average, leaking points in defence. It's going to be a massive one, and it's a big challenge for, I think, one, their front rowers. Their front rowers of Tito Tuipulotu, Hooker Millennium, and their other front rower, Molly. I think those front rowers really have to set the tone, because obviously they're the bigger bodies in defence. They have to work a little bit harder from scrum time. They've got to find their position early and get after it. Like, you know what it's like when you come off seeing someone put on some massive shots. Like, what does that do for your your confidence in your defensive life when you see someone going after it. Your big my boys teammate, especially, yeah, your teammate going after it.
Gives you the energy, you know, gives you that bit of spark, and yeah, makes you want to put on the next hit as well, especially if it's a smaller body putting themselves in front of those bigger bodies and then just giving them a good nudge or rocking that head back. That inspires the rest of the team.
And what about when it's like a rivalry game? This game is like South Sydney Roosters, you know, like as in that rivalry, Moana Pacifica and Auckland Blues, because of just like you're the, hey, kick back, little brother. This is our town type of thing.
They also etch themselves in history when they have those moments, because you just reminded me of a clip that I seen not long ago. Dylan Napa
getting after
the Sydney Roosters.
That's
getting
exactly
after against
what I'm
South
thinking
Sydney
of.
Rabbitohs and just putting shots on for 80 minutes.
I think that's the key. Like in one of their back rowers, Simisi Paya, like their seven, I think he has to get after it like that. Like what Dylan Napa did in those clips. Like, he was feeding guys like Sam Burgess.
The Burgess brothers. And then other, like, Jason Clark in the middle.
Yes.
Other forwards that were just running straight at him and just flying out the line, whacking him.
I think that has to be the mentality for Moana Pacifica this week, just to set the tone, because this isn't a matter of can they hold up defensively. It's just a matter of, like, actually showing up, doing it early on, and I guarantee they'll feed off that energy. And the Blues will be like, oh, hang on a tick. We need to reassess here what we need to do. We can't play in a dinner suit. We can't let Beauden Barrett Beauden Barrett's going to have second guesses around, oh man, we should probably plug the corners a bit more. Our forwards aren't getting on the front foot. So I just think those guys should get after it, and their attack will feed off that, because you've got guys like Glenn Vaihu, he'll be playing on the wing. You've got Simisi Tupou, Tailoa at number 8. They're going to make the difference anyway in attack. They got points in them to score. I just think they have to defend and defend hard, defend physical, so they can feed off that energy. And then off the back of that, their line-out callers, Savage and Craig, just win clean ball. Doesn't matter where you win it, just win clean ball so you have possession and just play in the right parts of the field. So I think it's a simple game plan for Moana this week after coming off some pretty heavy losses. But I think that's the only way forward for them. And staying on Moana Pacifica, you see the news about Tana, the whispers around Tana Umanga?
Assistant coach for the All Blacks?
All Blacks, that's what we're hearing. That's the whispers. And
But then there were also whispers about Jamie Joseph getting the All Blacks head coaching
role. There's whispers everywhere, is there?
That whisper was...
As long as the whispers come from the right person.
It was the ghost whisperer.
I've got
because I know your relationship with Jamie.
No, I love and respect that man. I just don't want to play footy under that man. I'm done. It hurts, okay? But I love and respect that man.
So these whispers about Tana are real?
Oh, I hope they're real.
Are they coming from strong sources?
Strong sources. Yeah. Well, I think it's from the main media outlets in New Zealand.
Jamie Joseph was from the main media outlet.
Exactly, but...
They were actually asking him on live air, saying, yeah. Hey, mate, I know you're the favourite for All Blacks. After his Highlanders game.
Man. He'd be so pissed off, I reckon, not getting that job.
You reckon?
I reckon. And, mate, I would be too if I was him. You know, you've probably been the front runner twice to get that job, and there's obviously something there. Something is not aligning with why he isn't the All Blacks coach. But Tana, I think this is strategic. I think, you know, from a representation point of view, and someone that's holds, I think, a lot of aura, you know, amongst the people. I think, especially our Pacific Island people, I'm hearing that they're losing a lot of foothold to rugby league in the south of Auckland. I just think someone like Tana coming in and trying to win the lounge room again and win the people over, get the All Blacks being the number one team, I think he could be the right man for the job.
Well, you spoke about Dave Rennie and spoke about his values around connection, culture, and then you look at what Tana Umanga has done for the Moana Pacifica. You bring them two together, you bring a great Cook Island man and a Samoan man, and put them in the same room, controlling
the
same team.
That's never been done before.
Imagine that. And not only just... it's not your normal team. This is
the most prestigious team in the world.
In the world, in all codes.
In all codes. Like their aura, their winning aura that they've had, their dominance that they've had for such a long period of time. Everyone knows the All Blacks. So to have a Cook Islander and a Samoan, or Cook Island Māori, Samoan.
And then I reckon you should put your hand up for the other assistant role, so you can have Samoan, Cook Island, and a Tongan. But you're Australian.
Do you know who'll be calling him? I reckon it'll be our man. He'll be like, oh, Tana, I brought you in for that Lions game.
No, I can already
see. Joel Sabone here.
Hey, Tana, mate.
With his Aussie accent.
I think you should let me come in, mate.
But I think you're not wrong, though, in terms of connection and culture. Like, Artie's so close to Tana from Moana Pacifica. Rennie is really close to Artie because he is the head coach of Corbett Steel, where Artie is playing in Japan. You just have to think that that's going to be one connected team. If it is, that's going to be the case. But I think from a representation point of view, we've never seen two Pacific Island figures coaching at that level before. So
it'd be unreal.
Unreal. And hopefully that happens. But what else have we got for rugby union? Have you got anything for me? Any goss?
For rugby union?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, have you got something for me?
We're just sending you Zach Lomax, so there's everything for you.
Awesome. Nah, but that's our rugby union chat until we get over to
Big
Nemani Nandolo Kurundrani. But first up, we have Salatonga Tuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Sala Tonga Tuki.
Yes, back on Nijan Footy Fridays, we have Sala Tonga Tuki, our NRLW superstar. She represents the West Tigers. She's played for New South Wales Blues, the Jillaroos, the Fetu Samoa, you name it. She's done it. Sala Tonga Tuki, welcome back to your show, Nijan Footy. How are you, Sala?
Good morning. Yeah, good, thank you. Good to be back, as always.
Hey, Sala.
What are you talking about?
Obviously, we're going to dive into plenty of footy chat, but I've been scrolling through the West Tigers social media pages, and I've just been seeing the hard work and the effort and sort of the sprays that Benji Marshall has been giving to the boys around making their times. Has that filtered into the women's space as well? I know you don't have to worry about making your times because you're one of the best trainers there, but you know, what's the vibe like, you know, amongst the men and the women's inside the Tigers' four walls?
Yeah, the culture's changed, like, for the better. And it's definitely filtered down to our NRLW squad. So what they're laying in their platform, it's exactly for us girls as well. Benji's really dived into us heaps this season. And it works pretty special because our coach, Craig Sandercock, coached Benji in his career. So the fact that both coaches for the Tigers, they've got a close relationship. Yeah, I see them working really well with each other. And yeah, like we even with gym, we're not even allowed music. So I don't even know what it feels like to have music in gym.
Is that one because, of the new standards? Yeah. No music in the gym, just get to
no
work.
Music unless you've earned it. Yeah, you've got to earn it.
Oh, we're going old school.
Yes.
No, yeah. Like literally, I was like, this is so weird. But yeah, doesn't matter what program you're doing in that gym, there's no music in that. So until you've earned it right. And the boys, I guess, I've only started hearing a bit of the music after last week or something? So I don't know what they've done to obviously get that, but
must have been making their times.
I was going to say, how do you earn the right to get the music back? Do you have to, someone have to break a PB or
you impress the coach, you make sure that you're making the times?
Yeah, with us girls, like we have to have half of us meet the minimum standard in our fitness testing to even just have a bit of music. It won't be a whole session where you can have the music going forever, but yeah, for us girls it was half the squad that needs to be at minimum standard, and I think the boys are probably more than that. So it doesn't matter if someone's one person's broken a PB, it's not enough. Like they've just tried to relate it to the team, like it's team first, it's not just one person.
The weird and wonderful ways to get a result,
to change. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same result. Looks like they're just trying to find something that,
here we go.
And if it works, it works. But I know with the Tigers last week before round one, I got to pop into the club, catch up with a few of the boys, speak to Benji, and also ask him, how's camp been, and what's the vibes going into round one. He said the hardest part is being able to keep the boys at that still training level, or like not let them get too carried away with their energy, because they've had the bye for round one. Everyone's itching to play footy, and they've had to wait an extra week. So I know that this weekend, they'll all be keen, very ready to go. Which player are you looking forward to watching for the West Tigers this weekend?
I think we all know Mussey, like just in that centre. I'm just keen to see how he goes. Obviously, we know pre-season games, those challenges, those pre-season challenge games are just there for obviously trial reasons, but we've seen some teams come out of it and not get the result that they wanted for round one. So I'm just, I'm keen to see how Mussey goes against Cowboys and, hold himself there.
He's only played one game, is it?
One NRL game.
So people remember, like, he's only played one game.
Finished school last year.
Do you think there's a lot of expectation for such a young kid? Like, I asked Sam the same question and he said the exact same player. So how do you think he'll handle that expectation?
He's got a good head on him. I've spoken to the kid. He loves pressure. And when someone thrives and feeds off that, that's a sign of good confidence. And it's pretty cool. Like, he obviously looks up to Critter, one of the greatest players in the game right now. And I couldn't think of anyone better for him to look up to. And Critter's a confident player. He backs himself. And I think Mussey's got that now under his belt after those two preseason games. So, I reckon he'll hold himself really well.
I think we'll be saying his name a lot this year. Hemasi Makassini. I think he'll be one.
Yeah, I hope so.
One to be scoring tries. But I think the Tigers in for a special year. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
Both in the men's and women's. But
thank you.
Origin camp for the women's. Is that around the corner? I was talking to Tiana on Monday. And it seems the preparations are all set for Origin for you girls. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've had two sessions already, which was last night and on Tuesday. Big volume sessions. I think Tuesday we did 6Ks and last night we did 6Ks again. So it's pretty intense, but it's Origin. Quick, fastest game across the calendar and we don't have that much time to prep. So we knew the expectations were coming in and it's been good. It's been good fun, bit of pain, but we were warned that we were going to get taken to some dark places. So,
any music in the gym at the Origin camp?
Oh no! Like, it's already head noise having no music. So I feel a bit funny when I walk to Origin when you're entering and they've got the music going to girls during the prep, and I'm just like, this is a bit weird for me. Like, I don't know how to even feel. Like, I just feel like our head of performance is like watching from a lens, like from afar. Like, I'm literally scared to groove. Like, I'm someone that loves to
scared to groove. Music.
I'm that traumatized from some of our Tigers optionals. Like, I've already been taken to some dark places, and I guess like Tigers this year's not mucking around. They've recruited well for us. So, it was cool. I was with T last night. We're in the same team for our comm blocks and that. And man, she's just another, like, she's on another level of elite. I'm telling you. Probably give a shout out to T. Doesn't get it enough.
Thank you.
Tiana Pinatano.
Wow. Okay. Come on, mate. This is Nijin Footy. There's only room for one T here. But speaking of State of Origin, you girls lost the series last year to Queensland, 2-1. Is there?
No, we did not.
Oh, no, you won it?
We did.
Oh, that's right. It was the year before.
He threw that one out there.
Just a little, he took the bite too easy, mate. But what is the expectation this year? Is it to go 3-0? Go the clean sweep?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of staff and that's obviously wishing a clean sweep. Blue wash, I think we said it. If that's the
The blue wash. That's a new one.
Yeah, it's a cool way to do it. If it, God willing, but
The win anyway, I reckon. Either way, just get the series win.
But we were 2-1, and they didn't have their strongest side in that third game where we lost it. And it was a bit of a weird feeling. And I think Strange, like our coach, he's said it from the start in the induction last Saturday, that yes, there's 31 of yous here, but obviously he only takes the playing squad and 2-3 others that they need in the camp. But he said anyone, it could be there, any given moment, it could be your time. If game one goes all well, that does not mean that some of the girls that didn't make it might not get caught up for game two, because it's probably some players that were putting the effort in to get the team over the line to get the win. But yeah, I think it's everyone's on the edge, like really trying to work hard and prove themselves, you know, that consistent footy, that's what we want. And yeah, hopefully we go well.
Just to wrap us up on rugby league, just a few questions around this weekend's NRL games. Warriors versus Raiders, who's taking this one? Kicking off very shortly.
I'm going Warriors.
Warriors, player of the match.
Oh.
They had a matchup in James Fisher-Harris versus Joseph Tapine. You've also got Chance Nicol-Klokstad at the back up against Kale Weeks. Chanel Tavita-Harris had an outstanding game.
Big Lekka, is he a shot?
Lekka Lasima off the only thing they come off the bench.
Okay.
So
I know, that's only, if he was starting, mate, probably, yeah, Chanel.
Chanel?
I reckon Chanel. Yeah, I'll go Chanel.
We'll go Panthers versus Sharks, have a big game. Who's winning that one?
Oh, Benny Panthers, mate.
Benny Panthers, mate.
Can you give me the Penrith roar? You know, over the speaker? Is that it?
I thought that was Sulla.
Well, they're coming third anyway, so I reckon, yeah, Penrith is going to want to top it.
All right, here's the last one. Does PNG Flyer, already great, Alex Johnston, break the record, all-time try-scoring record in the NRL against the Sydney Roosters?
Yeah.
He does. He scores 100%. Two.
He does. He scores two. Isn't he leveled right now with Ken? No,
he's got one more.
He's got one to even. And you do know he's coming up against a great in Daniel Dubol.
Nah, yeah, stay solid. Stay solid. If you think he's going to score the two.
No, it's Mark. He'll be coming up against Mark. Oh, yeah, he'll break it.
Oh, yeah, rugby union can't really tackle.
Rugby union. Nah, jokes.
Oh, man. Sam, that's sad to Mark.
Mark, you were solid, bro. Where you go way back.
Nah, that's all good.
Yeah. Well, you've got, because I just seen juniors playing as well on the inside. So if they get him to obviously fold, because he hasn't really played first grade in a while. And if he's the inside on the side, same side as Alex Johnson, then, yeah, you just never know. Yeah, and if it's Latrell there, they're gonna want him to score. They're going to want him to make this.
I can see this happening. Junior Ponga up against Latrell Mitchell. Latrell skipping on the outside.
One hand offload.
Mark comes in, and then Mark intercepts, runs 80 metres, scores.
Clip this up. It's happening. Clip this up. This is
That's my take. Mark Nawanga Nitawase is going for an intercept in the score. Yep. All right.
I believe that.
Thank you for joining us, Sulla. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate
you every Friday for jumping on Nesian Footy.
Oh.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Much love, Sulla.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. You guys take care. Thanks, everyone, tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Set, one another. Here he is. It's time to chat all things rugby union with our former Flying Fijian, who's back in Fiji, living it up there in the beautiful islands. But he is gearing up for the big clash with the milestone man, Robbie Valentini from the Brumbies, as the Fijian draw take on the Brumbies in round 5 of Super Rugby Pacific. He joins us now, Big Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani Dolabras.
Hello, boys. Thanks again for having me on. It's been happening.
Straight off the training field, I see. How the boys prepping?
Yeah, so, before the Brumbies game, we've got a development game So we've just had our captain's run earlier. As you know, the development guys get the short end and they have to come in at 7 to do their captain's run and get told to go. Funny story. had a captain's run and it was like, yeah, boys, you know, get in, get out. There's no lunch today. Go out because it's early. We finish early. And all the development boys are like, yep, sweet coach, sweet. So we've got some of the senior players come down to get some game time. We've got Manasa Mataeli. We've got Virimi Vakatawa playing for us. Like, it's some big profiles. And obviously no lunch. Yep, sweet. Development boys, mate. All the boys have come down. What? This is not on. Why aren't the players? Where's no food? I was like, boys, welcome, welcome.
Hey, if you want the lunch, man, You got to perform and be in the top squad. It is what That's it is. What Don't get dropped.
Make this a halfway house, boys. So that was funny today. And because we got a lot of big profiles in our game. This is obviously you missed Dalla Cotta coming back from injury. We've got a pretty good side. So, got a bit of a kick out of that because, as you know, Wikesy, when you're young, you know, when you're starting off, boys, you just, mate, get in. No one cares. Get out.
Get out. And is the scoreboard working for this week's game in Bar? So we don't have people in the comments section coming at you because I'm expecting a big, big scoreline here, Nems.
Technically, the scoreboard isn't put up yet.
It'll be live on Facebook.
Live on Facebook.
I've been told it's going to be put up today. So I went down to all our media guys and match, and I said, listen, before you post the score up, I'll have the score to myself. So make sure you come to me as well. So like, no worries, coach. You'll come. So, yeah, we're all sorted on that front, boys.
Yes.
And with the game in Bar, for those who... across the Pacific that probably don't know where Bar is in Fiji. Can you explain to us where it is and a bit about the environment there? What's the field like? What's the town of Bar like?
Oh, so look, Bar's about, it's about a 2-hour drive from Nundi. So it's another hour and a half, or another hour sort of give and take from Lotoka. So Bar, very proud football town or soccer. They're very big there. They're the only stadium, one of the only stadiums in Fiji that's rectangular. We went and had a training session there. I can tell you now, it's probably one of the best football pictures here in Fiji. It's close, you know. It kind of reminds me of like, what's the stadium? It's
Suncorp.
Like a West
Suncorp Stadium.
No, Concord Oval, just without the other side.
Oh, okay. Well, how do I put that into context for other people that might not know Concord? But anyway, you're nice and close. That's the main thing. And I saw T's face when it rectangular, because a lot of the Pacific Island fields, they have athletics track around it. That's why. So this is one of the only stadiums, or the only stadium that doesn't have an athletics track.
Yeah, and it's hot, boys. We went there training. We're playing at 12:30. It's hotter than Lotoka.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... We this week, because it's the first game ever there, they've already sold out. They've already sold close to 5,000 tickets already. So that's the biggest we've had so far. And we're playing their team, so the Bar team. There's a big, you know, there's a big spike in interest. The whole of Bar apparently is going to be there for our game. So it's going to be a great day of footy, you know, and it allows guys from that part of Fiji and in the mountains to come down and support the Drua. But also they get to support their team Bar. So, yeah, man, we're all looking forward to it. It's the first time, so it's going to be exciting.
All right, tell us why the Drua are going to beat the Brumbies this weekend in Bar.
Yeah, why don't you just put me on mute because you don't listen to my...
I'm taking notes this week. Sure thing, the Drua. The heat, the hottest part of Fiji... Sure thing.
Even the boys, Nems' team, go shred up the field before the kickoff.
Yeah.
Tactical. No.
That's a tactical, boys. That's all it is. It's going to be a very tough game. And I keep saying this, the Brumbies, I'm a big fan of how they, you know, the way they play their rugby. They adjust to any conditions. And I've said this a million times. Big for them, they've got Bobby playing his 100th. They've got James Slipper paying the most cap, going to be the most cap Super Rugby. So they've got a lot to play for. They're obviously coming on the back of a loss. You know, obviously they probably should have won that game against the Reds and losing at home. So they'll have a lot to prove. And, you know, they're a team that they're hard to lose two games in a row. So they'll be out for a good win. On the flip side, look, this is Bar. This is, you know, Drew's playing... We play good in the heat. Obviously, if it rains, even better. I just think, you know, with that week off, that we probably need that week off to rest a few niggling injuries. And, you know, I think just to revive the guys, it's been a tough sort of 12 weeks leading up to that. So, again, like I said last game, the boys just need to start well.
Dems, the Brumbies have rested Declan Meredith, you know, Longinigan's on the bench, or they're on the bench, sorry. So it is a little bit of a... probably a shuffle for the Brumbies? Like, what do you read into, like, how do you read into that? You know, like, of them, are they taking it as serious, or is this just, do you think the last 3 weeks have been very big and they haven't really rested anyone? So how are you guys reading into this one?
No, we're reading, this is a tax for us. It's nothing changes. Okay. So the Brumbies, you've got to remember that they've played the Crusaders on a Sunday. They've traveled, they've had some big weeks, and they've done well, right? The guys that will step up, it's not like they haven't played. They've come off the bench and whatnot. I think the thing with this Brumbies team, every player can step up when given the chance, right? And I just think one thing, the Brumbies are good. They win the breakdown. They're ferocious at the rucks. The mauling, it's their game. So in order for us to combat that and to, you know, for us to have a chance to win, we've really, really just got to withstand that pressure. You know, we've got to withstand what they bring. And we saw last year when the Brumbies came here, Rayner was just picking balls off for fun when he came on the field. Again, we've just got to nullify, you know, we've got to make sure that their strength, that we can withstand it for the full 80, because, again, they're a team that just knows not to give up.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And finally, I know you've got to get back out to preparations, you know, even though it's your captain's run is finished, but Bobby Valentini, you know, 100 games as a proud Fijian man, someone that's done it for the Brumbies, but he's actually doing it on Fijian soil. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Some of Fijian heritage playing in Fiji, 100th game, even though he's on the opposition. But how does that make you feel seeing him run out there for his 100th cap?
Man, I love it. I think it's great. He's not only a servant for Australia, for what he's doing for the Wallabies, for the Brumbies, but he's a proud Fijian. You know, he's doing us proud. You know, we always love it when one of our own or one of our boys are playing, whether it's for Fiji or Australia. To get 100 caps in Super, it's not easy. Obviously, you've done it, you know, so it's...
not to accept.
You've obviously
if got I can to be do it, anyone can do it. Seriously, no.
you've obviously got to be a forward to be able to do 100 caps. It's great. I think we get to, you know, his family's coming all from Melbourne, from what we heard. Kemu's come in. Obviously, his brother's Kemu Valentini, who plays for us here. He's put in an order for 150 tickets. Now, can we cater for that? I'm not sure.
Probably not.
The printer in the printer up here in the office is clocked it because we've run out of ink because of all the tickets we need to print for his family. But we're proud of him, man. And you know what? I think after the 80 minutes, obviously he's a key weapon for him. We know what he does. He's not going to be intimidated by this. You know, this week he'll be up for a big one. So Warriors on the field, belt each other, and then off it will. You know, we'll have a little something for him.
Little cups of carver there. Little cups of bar carver. How good's that?
Hydration.
Straight after that heat. All good. Well, Nems, we know you're a busy man. Many hats to wear. You're off to your other job right now. So
Third
one for the day. Triple income. Triple top. And a half. But much love to you, brother.
Stay hydrated.
Thanks. You're right. I do. I've got to go to another job. But guess what? This job is. I've got a golf day this afternoon.
Oh. You're good, mate. Make sure you got the sweat towel because you'll need it. All right, brother. Take care.
More than later.
Right, brother. Thank you.
Oh, he's the man.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Well, we've just come up with a new name. It will be Lock and Smoke.
Lock and Smoke.
Lock and Smoke, where we will pick one team who's a lock-in and one team who's a smoky. So you're not favourites or most likely to lose the game.
Well, it's a challenge for them. It'll be a challenge. A mountain for them to climb if they are to win.
And we'll pick one of each week and we'll keep a score. I'm up 3-2, Sammy.
That's all right. At least it's close. That's the main thing.
Luz has to buy the Christmas feed at the end of the year. So,
yes.
Let's go through it. Who is
first?
Are we going? Let's go with the lock-ins.
Oh, lock-ins.
So, who's
okay.
Your favourite? Who's your guaranteed win for this weekend?
As much as
you can pick from both codes.
Yeah, as much as I love my old club, the Western Force, I can't see them getting it done against the Hurricanes. I just think the Hurricanes at home, far too strong, and that's why they'll be my lock.
You're going the Canes? Pick them last week?
I did. Can I do that 2 weeks in a row or no?
No.
You can't. Oh, is that the rules?
Yes, come on, mate. Okay.
So the only time you remember anything is when it comes time to competition time. Man, you're good. You're good. All right. I'm going to go... okay, my lock then will be...
So you can't pick the same team 2 weeks in a row.
Can I have two leagues then? Or does it have to be one from each?
I reckon go one from each. Keep it fair. Oh,
who's my lock then? Who's my lock? Do I go the Crusaders over the Highlanders? Reds over the Tars?
Go the draw.
The draw over the Brumbies in bar.
In bar. Go draw. We just spoke about
the draw.
Nems.
No, the draw have never beaten the Brumbies. That's the only side they haven't beaten
yet. They're coming off a win. Nems just gave them a big rap. They are good to go.
I'm banging my head against the door on this one. That's not a genuine lock.
That's a lock. We'll go the Blues then.
No, I can't go against Moana.
Again.
I can't do that, man. No, I'm going the Crusaders. That's my lock.
Crusaders to beat the Highlanders.
Highlanders, the Battle of the South.
Wow, that's your lock.
That's my lock. It's going to be a tough one, but I just think the Crusaders, they're coming back.
Well, I'm going to go the Storm to beat the Dragons, just off the back of last week's form.
Okay.
You know, that dominant performance against the Eels and the Dragons, having that week off, flying all the way back from Vegas.
Okay.
I think Storm's going to get this one. All but right. My Smokey.
Who's your smoke?
Now, my smoke. So you've gone Crusaders to beat the Highlanders as your lock-in.
Yep.
Being a proud Southern Highlander. I'm going the Highlanders.
Southern Islander, Highlander.
Highlanders yes. To beat the Crusaders.
That's a good as smoke. My smoky. That's a good smoke. Do you know what the Highlanders call the Crusaders? Like as in when they grow up through the age groups?
What?
They call them the shiny tracksuits. Because back in the day, you remember the Canterbury tracksuits?
Yeah.
The real shiny ones?
I remember the Christian Cullen.
Yeah, played. It's the same because Canterbury had everyone. And yeah. So they would have had the black, all black, and it would have been yellow with CCC down the one side.
Yep.
They said the Highlanders never had the money to have the tracksuits. And when the Crusaders rocked up to all the age group stuff, they had their red, shiny tracksuits.
Oh, the kids.
The kids. So that's where it stems from.
So their development pathways,
just had more money. But anyway, I like it. So I think that's going to be a great game. I am going to go... Is the Titans against the Dolphins? That's a smoky egg on the Titans?
Titans are a smoky against the Dolphins, yes.
That's me. I'll go the Titans.
I'll be sure to let your cousin Isaiah Katoa know.
No, but it's a smoke, though.
Like, going against him. But anyway, that is us.
Snitch.
No. So you're going the
Titans
and the Dolphins.
And the Hurricanes.
Smoky. Yeah.
The Crusaders, sorry. So hang on a tick. So if your smoky is a Highlanders and my lock is the Crusaders.
We need a name for it. So what rhymes with loco? Smoko. We're calling it the Smoko.
The Smoko.
And for those who don't understand Australian lingo, Smoko is when you're having your morning tea break at work or your lunch break. So,
if you ask my uncle, it's every 10 minutes.
just off on the Smoko now,
Smoko.
Mate.
And we don't condone that, by the way. You know, make sure we keep the lungs free. But anyway, is that what we're going to
do? So when there's a lock-in against a Smoky, we're calling it the Smoko.
It's the Smoko.
And is us, the Crusaders versus Highlanders game. But
first Smoko of the year. Perfect.
That's us for Nijan Footy Fridays. But... before we get to the end, before I wrap us up, I want to mention we have a huge guest ready for Monday, Nijan Footy.
And strap yourselves in for this one.
I don't know,
ladies and gentlemen.
How did you get this bloke on the show?
Man, I've been sitting on this for like 4 weeks, man. I was too scared to message him, and I just did it, and he got back to me within 2 minutes.
Did he?
He said yes.
That quick? Are we going to announce it now?
Yes, we got the great man, Eddie Jones, on Nijan Footy Mondays.
Eddie Jones is joining us.
5 World Cups he's coached at.
One, how many?
None, but that's not the point. If we got him on, it's going to be a great chat.
I can't wait to have this chat with Eddie Jones. And remember, I read his book. So tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcast and join us on Monday.
Make sure you tune in Monday.
To the great man, Eddie Jones. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.